from David, subject, Yogananda. Yogananda. Presumably this, there are several people with the name Yogananda, but famous one in the West, and somewhat famous, not that his name's a household word, it's the Paramahamsa Yogananda, who was a Bengali yogi of sorts, who was in America in the, I believe, the early 19th century. He talks about the spiritual eye, a golden disc surrounding a blue field, and in the center a five-pointed silver white star, and the devotee has to penetrate this, like moving through a tunnel to the star and into it to get samadhi. My question is simple. Does this image of the third eye have a reality? Krishna is also blue and God. Say this spiritual eye is the impersonal feature of Krishna. Is it nevertheless real? I am not interested in discussing the legitimacy of Yogananda. I would just like to know what you think of the idea of the spiritual eye. Also, the tunnel with the light at the end is part of the near-death experience. You've asked me my idea about this, and you say you're not interested in discussing the legitimacy of Yogananda. But that is, after all, an important consideration. I mean, otherwise, anyone can say anything, and why should you accept it? Without getting into the legitimacy of Yogananda, it is pertinent, as you brought up Krishna, to discuss that, well, Krishna is much more legitimate in the eyes of all spiritual practitioners, probably including Yogananda himself, than Yogananda. Krishna, what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita is accepted as the ultimate authority in spiritual knowledge by all practitioners of yoga since time immemorial. In fact, Bhagavad Gita is referred to at the end of every chapter as Yoga Shastra, and it discusses the Sankhya Yoga, Dhyana Yoga, Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, and ultimately Bhakti Yoga. So in discussing in the yoga process in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna, well, what happens is that Arjuna, he rejects that process as being too difficult, and Krishna concurs with that, and Krishna gives the conclusion about yoga, very well-known conclusion, Yogi naam api sarvesham madgate naam taratma na shadhavan bhajate yomam so samayuktate momataha. That of all yogis, the various kinds of yogis, one who is engaged in full faith, in devotion to me, Krishna says, is considered the best. So these other esoteric processes of yoga, like, to tell you the truth, I'm not exactly sure what Yogananda teaches, although I've been told somewhat about here, because there are so many people teaching so many things. So someone may come and say, well, what do you think about this one? What do you think about that one? We have to judge by the standard of Bhagavad Gita. This process of yoga is very difficult, especially in this age, to perform. I recommend to understand about this, there's that very good book, The Perfection of Yoga, and I believe that's now published in America together with the Path of Perfection. They're printed together in one book, isn't it? The Yoga Path. I believe they're printed together now. Is it? Oh, is it? Then maybe in India it's like that. And I thought they were just copying what was done in America. In India we see they're published together, right? It's called The Path of Yoga. The two books are printed together. They're still separate. Somewhere I saw them together, printed together. Anyway, there's The Path of Perfection and The Perfection of Yoga, which are two books by Srila Prabhupada which discuss this. Now, this discussion of the third eye, is it a reality? Well, that's a first question is, what is the meaning of reality? If you say, well, is it real? Then what is the nature of reality? A dream, is it real or isn't it real? I just discussed that recently, a few days ago, right? Where was that? In Baroda? I was discussing that. In Vallabhidyanagar? I was discussing that. In English? In Hindi. Then I mean, it's a common topic of discussion. What is the nature of reality? In one sense, a dream is real because there's an experience there. If it was totally non-existent, and then you couldn't say the very fact that you can discuss it means that it's real. It's and that there is some experience means that it's real in some way. Otherwise, you couldn't speak of it at all. If you say, I had a dream, that means something happened. It's real in some sense. But then, because it has no substantial influence, generally speaking, dreams have no substantial influence on one's, what we may call a more real existence, then it's not considered substantially real. But then if we consider that each life we have is just extremely brief, then each life we have could also be called a dream. So is what is real, actually? Real is our true spiritual position. So all these things that is discussed, the third eye, yes, it's real at some level. But it's not the ultimate level. That's described in Srimad Bhagavatam and other shastras, that these kind of mystic perfections, they're actually offered by Maya, the illusory energy, to distract the yogi to think that he's having some spiritual realization, where it's a mystic realization. It's happening at a higher astral level to that of the on which most of us move on. But it's not the ultimate spiritual reality. It's a distraction. So, yes, the things which Yogananda has discussed, I'm not sure exactly what is all this, but the mystic, what are called siddhis, or perfection, in which one can experience various astral levels, one can travel in the astral body to various parts of the universe. They're real in one sense, but then on the other hand, if we understand the real perfection of yoga is to go to Krishna and get free from this material world, including the distraction of mystic siddhis. And that is ultimate reality, because it's not limited by time, like a night dream, or by a daydream. By a daydream I mean this life flipped like this, 70 years, 80 years, it's just a blip in time. So yes, what Yogananda has described is quite likely real at one level. The tunnel with the light at the end is commonly described in near-death experiences. Yeah, but that's also just within the material. It's just within the material semi-reality. Something like these video games or something. You get so absorbed and then it becomes as if real. And you think it's video game, computer games. And I mean, I must admit, I've never played any of these games and I trust I won't waste my time ever doing so. But people get so absorbed in it, they take it as real, or in a chess game, for instance, or any a sports game, you become so absorbed that you're not really thinking about anything else. But really, chess, it's some plastic or wooden pieces on a board, and if someone comes and just knocks them all away, it doesn't really make any difference. It's just because we ascribe importance to it that it seems important to us. The cricket World Cup is going on. This someone's asking from America, it seems, David. So he's probably never heard of cricket. There's no interest in it, but people take it as very important. But ultimately, it doesn't matter whether the ball goes this way or that way. But just because we have ascribed it's a convention that everyone playing the game, they take part in, and so they think it's very important and this and that. So. The tunnel with the light at the end. Yeah, I mean, it may seem very important, but ultimately the only thing of real importance is to understand who we are, and what is the purpose of life, the ultimate reality. Otherwise, you can, I mean, there are so many different teachers, Yogananda, this Ananda, so many different teachers. You can go on and on, but the real question, I mean, there are so many questions being asked here in this Ask BBKS, but the really important question is, Ke yami kene yamai jare tapatroi. That's Sanatana Goswami asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Who am I? Why am I suffering in this world? Or atato brahma jignasa. We should, now is the time to inquire about ultimate spiritual reality. What is the nature of ultimate reality? Without that, all questions, they're really missing the point.